All right. Landowner raffle hunt. So this WAC outlines the requirements for landowners to operate their own raffle opportunities for big game species. Largely pertains to a few select landowners that are currently enrolled under our landowner hunting permit, or LHP program, which is the WAC 220-412-100, which I'll be presenting next. So the only recommended change that we have is to extend the required submission date for the annual report, which is currently listed as December 31st, but extend it to May 1st. This aligns with the LHP WAC. So the annual reports include raffle award information, harvest numbers, and participant information. And as I mentioned, yeah, the rationale for this adjustment is to align all the reporting submission dates within the new requirements under the landowner hunting permit. So under for the public comment, we received 147 total responses. 68 generally agreed, 63 were neutral, 16 generally disagreed. The general comment summary consisted of general concern over the privatization of wildlife. Advertising of raffles should also be required. Landowner raffles should simply not be allowed. And then wildlife belongs to the public. Landowners shouldn't be allowed to manage/sell hunting rights to wildlife. Any questions on that one? Pretty simple.
No questions?
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. So moving on, larger one. So landowner hunting permits. So I'll start with a little bit of history of the LHP program. It began as a way to provide public access to larger parcels of land that were otherwise inaccessible by the general public. It was a new way to incentivize landowners to allow hunting access onto their lands. And then conflict mitigation was also a secondary benefit. Give you guys an overview of the program. The LHP program is just one of our access opportunities under the broader private lands access program. Other opportunities include feel free to hunt, register to hunt, hunt by written permission, and then a hunt by reservation, which is a online reservation opportunity. Here are some program statistics for the past hunting seasons, so 2018 through 2019 hunting seasons. Total acreage, we increased acreage again this past year to just about 1.47 million acres of private land. That percentage of which is LHP is 7.8 of that total acreage. Our most popular hunting program is still hunt by written permission, which 46% of our landowners are currently enrolled in. And then there's some statewide totals over there too in the little green box. Cooperators 533, and then the total acreage amount. So this is directly tied to the LHP Commission policy, which is policy C-6002. LHP permits authorized are only authorized by the Commission. There's customized seasons. The permit allocation is 50% of antlerless, 25% of bull or buck, and exceptions are only made by the Commission. It also outlines equal opportunity for all hunters with all permits, and then owners charging access fees also waive their rights to damage claims. Under the same policy, landowners shall make provisions for significant public benefit. The general hunting season opportunity is strongly encouraged. Landowner incentives may also include, like I mentioned, customized hunting seasons, a second tag opportunity, or technical services to the landowner. So in late 2018, WDFW staff requested permission from you, the commission, to undergo an extensive program revision process for the LHP program. The revision process included public meetings, internal staff meetings, and then also landowner meetings for landowners that are currently enrolled in the LHP program. This has resulted in a new standard operating procedure and significant changes to the WAC. The LHP program is directly tied, as I mentioned, to the Commission Policy C-6002. No changes to the Commission policy are currently recommended at this time, and the current SOP does align with still aligns with that policy. And all changes made still remain consistent. So current LHP properties, in order to align to the updated application process to the three-year season setting cycle, the five currently enrolled properties will be granted a one-year extension, which will put it through next year, March of next year. All applicants, new or current, will be required to apply using that updated application process during the three-year setting cycle, which I believe will start in August, according to the new SOP. All applicants will also be required to adhere to the new standard operating procedure and WAC requirements. And then here's a map showing the currently five, or the current five enrolled LHP properties that we have in the state. And just to clarify, no changes proposed during this one-year extension period. All the dates and the permits numbers are staying the same. And then, yeah, permit numbers and these hunt dates will be reevaluated at this new phase after the first application process concludes. Recommended changes to the WAC under the acceptance guidelines. So landowners must provide one or both of the following, hunting opportunity that otherwise wouldn't exist, hunting opportunity that aids with chronic crop damage. Landowners must provide what we've defined as substantial public benefit, which includes additional no-fee general public access. Only two LHP contracts can be active within a district. Landowners may only participate in one LHP statewide. Landowners will also be required to identify property changes annually through the annual report. And then there's a minimum requirement of 1,000 huntable acres, which we also identified if contiguous properties can span GMU boundaries, non-contiguous properties have to reside in the same GMU. So continued recommended changes to the WAC, and this is under the section program guidelines. No LHP permits for elk will be issued where branch antler bull elk hunting is by quality or bull elk special permits only. And then in addition, same goes for deer. No LHP permits for deer will be issued where antler deer hunting is by quality or buck deer special permits only. All lands in the LHP contract will be identified on the WDFW website, which they are currently not. All LHP permits will be tied to the three-year season setting cycle. LHPs shall not be prioritized in any areas where other access opportunities may be jeopardized. WDFW, at its discretion, may deny any LHP application for biological or social reasons. And annual reports will be required for all LHPs by May 1st of each year. So with these revisions, expected outcomes for the program would include improved program management statewide, an improved application process, structure and transparency, public perception, accountability, reporting on the landowner's part, and then also tracking for WDFW, and then improved access opportunities as well. So during the public comment period, we received 139 total responses, 53 generally agreed, 73 were neutral, 13 generally disagreed. And then the general comment summary that I've listed here, there was, again, concern over privatization of wildlife, concern over the lack of outreach to non-hunters during the public outreach phase. There was one comment, just terminate this program, too many special interests involved at the landowner level. Appreciation towards WDFW for actually performing the review and said it was vastly necessary. LHP has no public benefit available landowner permits versus the WDFW permits that are allotted are weighted towards landowners. And then again, programs should be abandoned and resources used elsewhere. Also, general comments against fee hunting, concern over permits being given to friends and family only. Permits should be prioritized to individuals who are in close proximity to LHP properties, and then support, and then additional support of the changes made to the equitability between the public and the landowner within the new SOP. Next steps, maintain the five currently enrolled LHP properties. By August of 2020 or this year, develop an online application option for new potential LHP properties, which aligns with the application process. By August 2020, develop a marketing and advertising campaign for the LHP program, which may be included in the broader private lands access program marketing campaign. And as I mentioned here, the campaign is dependent upon program funding, which we did just receive. Monitor and assess the new SOP and requirements once they commence after August in the application process. And then that is the new sign for our LHP programs. And any questions? Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you, Sarah. First of all, to acknowledge, this is really a great piece of work. Great idea to do it in an operating procedure, and we're able to maintain our policy. you've really covered, I think, all of the issues, and this is going to be much improved. For the general opportunity that's going to be required, will we expect them to enroll in another one of the Hunter programs by written permission or something like that?
So it's not necessarily, they are welcome to, and actually a couple of them, I think, operate that way right now. The general season is more of a, when we went through the initial analysis, we realized that the permits that were being given out really, for a program that we put so much resources and effort into, the public benefit wasn't high enough. So we looked at it and said we would allow, like all applicants, to allow some type of a general season hunting. And it's reflected in the SOP and the application process and the grading criteria that any general season, whether it be deer, elk, and we expanded that to also upland, waterfowl, anything else, and fishing, I believe, is also on there as well, just to allow to gain more public access. So it's we would encourage them to enroll in one of those other programs as well, just to help us monitor. But a lot of them do that already and kind of do their own monitoring thing. As long as they report it on the annual report, then we're good with that.
Great. And one other, I'd like to give Sarah an opportunity to share some really good news that we heard this morning in the Wildlife Committee. Perhaps that could be the end if there are other questions.
Okay. We'll do that. Commissioner Lindbrough?
I feel like I have so many questions that this might not be it. So I may need to have a sit down with you at some point in time, because
absolutely,
I think maybe this isn't the right place for all the questions I have. But I'll fire a couple at you.
Okay.
Phrase that has to be a hunting opportunity that otherwise wouldn't exist. Can you explain what that means?
So that's some carryover from, I believe, the original commission policy. And when this was first done, which was well before my time, a lot of these were bigger tracts of land that we otherwise as a department or the public had no access to. So I think that's where that came from, was the general, it was to try to gain some of that bigger tract. So it wasn't these little piecemeal things put together, but it was just to try to gather those bigger chunks that otherwise really didn't have any other opportunity tied to them.
Okay. Gosh, I have so many questions. On the hunting by written permission, is that so? Does that mean that when you have those signs on your property, then does the written permission come from the landowner? Is it like, do people see those signs and then say, I then contact the landowner? Is that how that is supposed to work?
Yeah. So all of our different programs have signs coordinated or dedicated to those programs. The landowner gets to choose which program they want to enroll in. Hunt by written permission is the I kind of call it the old school method. It's the, you know, go knock on the door type thing.
Right.
But yeah, so their properties, for those who enroll in that specific sub program, if you will, they have hunt by written permission signs with the contact information on those signs bordering the property. Some of them require in person meetup, so it would be like you'd have to go talk to the landowner at their house or wherever you locate them. Most of them are supposed to have the actual phone number and you can just call. But yes, that's how that's indicated. And then there, the landowner is given blue slips by the department, and they write out the hunter information and the specific time or season, and then one portion of that stays with the landowner. The other portion goes with the hunter during the hunting season.
Okay, got it. And then I'm going to just end with this, the question on the if they enter into this, it's like, then there can't be a, was it depredation or conflict? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the portion in the policy says if landowners charge for this, so the landowners are in this program are free to sell their own permits. So if it wasn't clear, programs or this policy outlines that a certain percentage of the permits go to the landowner. The others stay here with WDFW, and we they're special permits, essentially. They're either drawn. Thank you. So they're I'm sorry, say your question again.
So
damage.
If there was going to be a
I think what it was implying. If the landowner sells the permit.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If you sell the permit, then you do not get to do damage claims. That was the language.
So basically, their ability to sell those permits offsets the cost that would have been, we would have been paying for a damage claim, essentially. So, yeah, and then if they choose not to, there's some wording in the that will still account, but they would still have to qualify under damage claims under the associated WAC, which I don't recall the specific WAC right now. But
okay, and so is that, like, is that spelled out that it's just damage claims by ungulates? Because that could be, like, say, for example, you have a depredation.
We don't get into that, so it's crop only.
Okay. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying to...
No, I know. Exactly, I'm putting you on the spot, too. I understand that.
Okay. And it's associated with the... The WAC is specifically called out, which is the crop damage WAC. Yes.
Okay, I've had a lot of hands going up. So in this order, Commissioner Baker, Commissioner McIsaac, Commissioner Anderson, and Commissioner Thorburn, you get to wrap up.
Okay. Minor question, but you were here earlier when we heard testimony that there was a complaint about our signage and that it wasn't updated. So my question, and that was on a feel free to hunt thing, and I hate to think of people doing everything they have to do to go out and walk in and then have some sort of a conflict. My question on most of these, the signage, is whose job is that? Is that the landowner's job to update those signs, or is it ours? And if it is ours, I think we need to respond to the testimony this morning.
Yes, and actually, if I was a little bit later, I was going to go talk to him at the break. So it used to be under the old guidelines for LHP, the landowner was responsible. We have changed that. It's now going to be the responsibility of our staff to put up the signs. And for every other program that we have, unless the landowner specifically requests it, like if there's an area that's treacherous or dangerous and our staff, the landowner would prefer our staff not to go, it is our staff's responsibility. I work with 13 private lands bios across the state. Most of them, for all of our other programs, are responsible for making those contracts with those landowners and getting the property signed. Now, with that, we have had some turnover, and so depending, I was going to speak with the member of the public to see where exactly that was. Our normal process is if we find old signs, because there's a lot out there from, I mean, this program's been around a lot, and we will miss them. Like, it always happens. But when we do find those, I like to direct people to our local private lands bios, and that information is on our website. So then we can go out and we can get those cleaned up. Or if it was a landowner that, if we had staff turnover and we didn't have an updated contract fell through, well, we can either get them re-enrolled and get new signs posted as well. And the other piece I will add which is what Commissioner Thorburn's hinting at here at the end, we've done a similar, not revision, but we have revised all of our signage, and so I'm putting in an order for all of that, and then over the next couple of years, all of our signs are going to be looking a little different, so for all of our programs.
Mr. McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On slide number 10, you have some information on the permits, and so my question is, where it says 25% of bull or buck, does that mean 25% of all the permits issued for special bull or buck hunts go to the landowner program? And what does it mean when it says equal opportunity for all hunters with permits?
Yeah, so to answer your first question, yes, that is correct. And then the second portion, the equal opportunity. So landowners are allowed under this program to dedicate the areas on their land and or the specific, because their seasons are extended for the most part. So when they're contacted by a individual who drew one of the WDFW tags, that's what I mean by equal opportunity. So the people who have the WDFW tags need to be treated and allowed the same opportunity that the people that they basically just gave their landowner tags to or performed a raffle or whatnot. That's where the equal opportunity has to come in, because that was one of the concerns that we've had in the past, was there was a perception and possibility that the landowner ones were receiving either better timeframes or better communication at some point. So that's what we've outlined in the new policy, as was originally in the original policy, or excuse me, not policy, but the SOP, that equal opportunity has to be between the WDFW permits and the landowner permits.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes, asking you to speculate a touch with regard to how the SOP might affect things going forward in the, so next year when we're having this discussion, what will you be telling us about what might have happened or what may happen?
So I'm hoping that we're going to get the, my biggest hope for this under the new SOP is that we get a larger number of the public participating in the LHP program. I can't recall the exact permit numbers, but it was, I think, under 100, like, of people who were actually allowed out on these, like, lands under, for the WDFW permits anyways. I can't recall the landowner ones. But that public benefit is for having a program that we put so much time and resources in is not sufficient. We need to be able to do that more. So I'm, the one thing that I hope I can bring back and say is, like, okay, on the annual reports, and say, hey, we now have more general season access. These LHPs are now allowing upland hunting or things that don't require a permit, but we can track that and say, okay, we believe this was a success under the new SOP. We also think that there, it's going to improve kind of the public perception slightly because we're going to be allowing more of that general season, or hopefully a general season, and then just general access for the public.
Commissioner Linville, and then we're going to Commissioner Thorburn.
Is there any language or about around sort of landowner culpability when hunters are out on their property? In other words, when you, so the whole equal opportunity hunters with permits sort of got my brain going, because, for example, when we have folks hunting on our ranch, we make sure that they're hunting different parts of it for safety reasons. If somebody gets, if one of these hunters gets hurt on the, on these ranches, on these private lands, is there any sort of, you know, waiver for liability, or is it just on the home, the private landowner's insurance?
No, so under, there is an RCW, and I don't have it referenced here in front of me, but there is an RCW that basically waives liability for those who allow access onto their private land. So all of our property, or excuse me, landowners are under contract with us, and that is outlined in there that it, there's a one exception if there's an artificial latent condition, which is explicitly called out in the RCW, and it basically the landowner just has to identify or put safety signs up or something to identify it on their property. But other than that, liability is waived for the landowners that are enrolled.
Okay. And has that ever been, in, to your knowledge, been, like, you know, tested or?
It has never come up since I've been here almost 4 years. I haven't heard of anything, and my predecessors, who I still talk to on frequent occasions, I don't believe ever encountered anything either.
Now I'm done.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Get away. I don't want to be the test case.
Excuse me. Yeah, so we, I received news a couple of days ago. We put in for a federal grant for from NRCS for the what's called VPA HIP or VPA-HIP, Voluntary Public Access Habitat Incentive Program. Out of all of the states that applied, 27 states were granted awards, just totaling under $50 million. And the state of Washington, I was happy to say, we got just over $2.7 million for the Private Lands Access Program. So that will go a long, long way in renewing a lot of contracts with our landowners. We're going to be working with fishing access on private lands in addition to wildlife viewing, renewing our hunt by reservation system, and then also working with timber companies for providing some assistance there. and signage is the other piece of it that will be done. We get to revamp all of that, and then also a huge, as I hinted at in the LHP, the marketing and outreach campaign for the entire program is also outlined in that grant. So we are very, very, very excited over the next 3 years or the term of the grant to be able to roll all of that out and improve the program.
Job well done. Did you want to speak, Mr. Kirby?
Well, I was just going to say well done. I mean, this is, this is big.
Yeah, it's huge.
This really is huge. This is a big deal. And despite the humility here, this would not have happened without Sierra. She leaned into this. She made it happen. It's a new day for us with this. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Just to emphasize what a big deal it is, because private land access is just
huge.
So important in Washington State to preserve hunting and fishing.
Absolutely.
Mr. Smith?
Quick question on that. Is this access only for hunting and fishing, or is it Washable Wildlife as well?
So I wrote it into the grant. The grant itself in this program is largely for public access to private lands and some habitat incentives. This go around, they really wanted to push the access piece. So I wrote into that grant because I've seen some need over the last couple of years that I've been here to increase wildlife viewing, fishing especially, because under the wildlife program, I don't have funds that I can spend on fishing. So at least now I have the ability to do that. Fishing is becoming, on private land, is a major, major thing, and it continues to grow. So that was what was written into the grant to allow us to be able to do that.
Just a follow-up. Since viewing is part of that, I would think this would be the access, an open door to bringing new partners
exactly
into the department that, you know.
Yeah, and we as, and it, the kind of funny thing is I work with private lands bios, but a lot of our, I guess you call them private landowners, are actually like city parks, and they're not in other agencies. So we don't even just work with the private landowner. We work in a lot of these where we've got built those relationships, and a lot of them have shown interest already in doing wildlife viewing. So I'm hoping that we can expand on that.
Please keep abreast of that.
Of course.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Job well done. Appreciate your report and your work.
Thank you.
All right. We are now going to take a 10-minute break. Come back at 10:40. Well, I don't have.